In last week's readings and in this week's readings, we hear a lot about food, particularly bread. If you remember last week, the prophet Elisha, however you want to pronounce it, worked a miracle where he fed 100 people with just a loaf of bread. And then we have in the gospel of last week, Jesus feeding thousands of people with just a few loaves and a few fish. In today's first reading, we have the story of the Israelites in the desert doing what they do best, complaining, groaning, and saying, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt into this desert? Why didn't you let us die in Egypt? At least we had flesh and bread there." And so God works a miracle for them. He gives them bread from heaven, which we call manna. And in the evening, he gave them quail to eat, meat. So they had bread and meat. Didn't have to work for it. And one question I can ask immediately, and you know the answer, did this miracle from God make the people always faithful? No, it didn't. They continued to grumble and complain. But what God was trying to say to them is, "I care about you. I care for you. I'm going to give you bread. I'm going to give you meat. Trust in me. Trust in me. Do what I tell you to do. Follow me." But we know that people grumbled and complained, and the early generation that went into the desert was not allowed to go into the Holy Land because of their faithlessness. And in today's gospel, we also have another story about bread. In this case, Jesus calls himself the bread that came down from heaven, the bread that will sustain us for all eternity. So we're talking about the perfect food that sustains not just the body, but our very beings. And again, what's the purpose of it? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did he rise from the dead? To show us his love for us, his care for us. He gave himself as food for us. Now, another question based on that. We know that's true, but does that make us faithful all the time? No. No. Here we have God doing all that he can do to prove his love for us, and yet we fail to follow him. Again and again and again. And recently you've heard over the past few years a lot of statistics about how many Catholics actually believe that the bread and wine that we have at Mass actually are transformed into the very flesh and blood of God. And it's the statistics vary, but it's kind of low. So most Catholics would not even say, "Oh yeah, I truly believe that when I come up for communion, I am receiving the very flesh and blood of God." So there's a problem there, and we keep hearing it. If you listen to Catholic podcasts or news sources, we're talking about that again and again. And of course, nowadays, we're talking about who is worthy to receive communion at Mass. Well, if we're really honest with ourselves, nobody's worthy, right? We're not worthy. No one. But there is the question of, well, what about if someone is doing scandalous behavior and has a position of authority, so forth and so on? And the church has dealt with this for centuries, So there's really nothing new to discuss about it. And yet people love to discuss that as if that's going to solve our problems. Well, when push comes to shove, and those of you who are older, like me, will know this one. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Did you ever hear that? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. The pudding may look great, and I got faith in that pudding. Well, maybe. But then I try the pudding. It's terrible. So it's only I find out about it when I eat it. And in a similar way, when it comes to the Eucharist, I can truly believe that it is the body and blood of God. Divine food, eternal food that doesn't corrupt, that doesn't change, that doesn't disappear. And yet, that doesn't necessarily make me a good disciple of the Lord. Because what goes along with belief And Jesus says that you got to believe in the works of God. You got to believe in God. Belief is not just an assent up here. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. When I come up to communion, I'm assenting to the fact that it is the body and blood of Christ. That's why I say, amen, I believe. It is true, yes. But I'm also renewing my part of the covenant with God, the covenant that God established with me. So what I'm doing when I come forward is saying, okay, Lord, I renew my commitment to doing what you tell me to do, not just thinking up here that all this is great and wonderful, but rather acting out my belief. Because if I truly believe it's the body and blood of Christ, that should change my life. That should change the way I do things. I should be asking myself, well, if I'm becoming more like Christ, what did Jesus do? Well, we know he suffered, he died, but he fed people, he taught people, he cured people. Am I doing that? Am I doing that? Is my faith really in the one true God? And that if God says you can do this and I don't do it, am I really faithful? Do I really have belief in God? And I think that is the challenge we face, to go into our faith and say, is it really an active participation in the ongoing life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Am I living as Jesus did? Now, we know from Scripture, and we need to be challenged by this, we know from Scripture he didn't own a house. He didn't have a 9-to-5 job. He didn't have luggage to carry around. He didn't care about money. He came with a focus on doing the works of God, focusing on that, healing, feeding, teaching people. Do we do the same thing? Do we do that? Or do we say, well, I've got my job. When I come back from work, I'm very tired. I want to watch TV and have good. Okay, fine. But the challenge of the Christian is to go deeper into our faith and say, is everything I'm doing worthwhile? Is it worthy of being a Christian disciple? Are there things I can change in my life so I can be more living a faithful and simple life to do what Jesus Christ tells me to do? And Paul says it very nicely in the reading today. He says, we got to put on the new self. We got to renew ourselves. We got to take the corruption out of our lives. And that's a 24/7 job. And the best way to get rid of that corruption is by doing what God calls us to do. Because the more we reach out to others, the more we teach other people about Jesus, the more we feed other people, the more we cure other people. And yes, I'm sure some people here have that charism. If you haven't used it, it's needed out in the world. But the more we do those things, the more we're going to see what is truly important and what is not important, what I can cut away from my life, or what I need to do more of. But that's the challenge. Again, G.K. Chesterton put it so beautifully. He said, just because we go to church does not make us a Christian any more than standing in our garage makes us an automobile. True. Right on the head. It's true. It's true. So here we are, and I'm going to assume, and I'm probably right, maybe up to 99% at least, that everyone here truly believes that the bread and the wine become the very flesh and blood of God. I imagine we all believe that. Now, the next question, though, would be, so what? What do you do with it? When you go outside these doors, do you live that reality that you are linked with Jesus Christ through his flesh and blood? You can't get away from that. And if you're covenanted to Christ, then what are you going to do about it? How are you going to live that covenant or consecration or baptism? How are you going to live it? And that's where the Christian community comes in as well. You know, it's not just me going out those doors and trying to do it on my own, but the genius of God is he always had a body of people, an assembly, a church, whether it was the Israelites in the desert or us today, he always had that in mind so that we have other people to support us, to challenge us, to correct us, to lead us, to guide us, to teach us. So are we doing that? Do we have close ties with one another where our conversation inevitably turns towards, well, how are you practicing your faith? What did you do this past week to show God your love? What successes did you have? I know, you know, it's not about my success per se, but we should talk about what are we succeeding at doing. If I went and I stopped and I talked to a homeless person and then I took him to lunch at a restaurant, that's a success. And we should celebrate it and tell other people. But those are the types of things we need other people to hear and support and correct us so that we're not just coming up mindlessly week after week doing what we're supposed to do, and it's a good thing, yes, but does it make a difference in our lives? I talked about our baptisms a while back. Again, we are given a consecration to be priests, prophets, and kings. That's what it says in the baptismal formula. But again, do we act like priests, prophets, and kings in the world? So God's given us all types of hints and clear statements as what it would mean to truly live what we say we believe, truly live the Eucharist, that is Jesus Christ. So what are we doing about it? And that's the ongoing challenge. You know, every week we should be going out into the world and pushing ourselves to teach someone about Jesus, reach out to them, comfort them, as I say, heal them. You know, I've said that again and again, and I'm going to say it again and again because the age of miracles is not over. It's not going to be over until the end of time. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you gifts through the Holy Spirit so that you can go forth and heal, cure people. So, but that's just one of many ways in which God says to us, go out, surprise me, do great things in my name. Because we have the greatest gift we could possibly have. We have the Eucharist. We have God himself coming to us in physical form, and he becomes part of us. So if I really want to honor God, if I really want to focus on my faith and go deeper into it, I have to go forth and live it. Live it, incarnate it in my actions, in my thoughts, in my words. Whatever I'm doing, always be thinking, this is my true vocation to be a Christian disciple, one who goes forth and proclaims the gospel, then comes back to the community to share what went on, and then to refine what I've been doing and go back out again and do it again. So, as always, we have a lot of work. You know, we read the newspapers. Bad news everywhere, but we've got the good news. But do we bother to tell people about the good news? It's not good news, it's great news, it's extraordinary news. And God's given to us as a gift, and the expectation of God is that we will proclaim it, we'll do something with it. So as you go forth this week, keep remembering that through baptism you entered into this covenant with God. He blessed you in so many ways. The Holy Spirit has showered his charisms upon us. But what are we doing about them? What are we doing about the reality of God's love for us? Are we taking those gifts and truly living them in a deeper and deeper way each and every day? So there's no limit to what we can do, but it's up to each of us as individuals and as a community to remember who we are. We've been set apart by God to do great things, and so it's up to us to say, yes, Lord, I want to do great things, and I will practice those great things each and every day in your name, because that's what you call me to do.